Well, I'm glad the microphones were off during the break.
I will second that.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the final hour of the Chad Hastie Show. We have Mayor Glenn Robertson in studio, along with Clayton Isom, member of the Electric Utility Board of Lubbock Power and Light. And they've been fielding phone calls this morning. If you have questions for them, the local number is 770-5790. We're talking about Lubbock Power and Light and talking about the controversy that's been swirling around Lubbock Power and Light over the computer glitch, which underbilled some folks in June, and the rate increase, which has put extra pressure on a lot of folks that are on fixed income. You know, it's interesting. I think there's a great deal of frustration right now in the nation's economy. And I say this to both Glenn and Clayton. And I think that probably this is just an extension of $4 gasoline or gasoline that's creeping toward $4. I think it's an extension of $4 milk at the supermarket. I think it's the extension of a lot of things that are going on in our nation's economy. A lot of people are either unemployed or underemployed. And I think right now it appears to me that at least the city of Lubbock and Lubbock Power and Light are pretty much low-hanging fruit, your convenient target. And I do believe that some of this is at least couched in other frustrating issues for the public. I'm very frustrated about a lot of things that are going on, but there's very little we can do about it. I'm not going to go to Houston and picket Texaco over high gasoline prices. We knew they were coming. Let's move along to something else about Lubbock Power and Light, and I want to talk about, first of all, I was stunned this morning. And I want a reaction from both Mayor Robertson and Board Member Clayton Isom. Clayton just informed me that in July of 2012, Lubbock Power and Light sent out 4,206 notices for disconnect for unpaid bills. 4,206. In July of 2013, so far, July. So far this month, only 1780. And if that figure doubles, it'll still be 3,500, well below the 4,200 in 2012.
Yeah, they're averaging LP&L this month.
Any explanation for that?
LP&L's averaging about 80 a day, which, so at the end of this month, it'll be right at about 2,400 versus 4,200 last
year. I think it's an indication that the economy in Lubbock is better. Now, I will tell you, we're not out of the woods. And, you know, quite frankly, it was one of my concerns that I had when we decided to do this rate increase effective June, is that it's an increase. It is a tax on the citizens, and not in the traditional sense, but it's money out of their pocket. But I do think it shocked me that the disconnects were down. I view it as, it is good news. It does mean that we're doing better as a community. We have suffered through the last 3 years better than the rest of the country. I'm glad these disconnects are down. It's a side note to what we're going through now, but it is one of the very few positives that we have.
Yeah, I would agree with the mayor. I mean, I think by no means does this, I don't want anybody to think that LP&L, nobody on the board, nobody looks and tries to determine policy by how many or how few disconnect notices are sent out.
That's not your job.
It's not our job. You don't really want to focus on disconnects. That's not a positive part of the operation. But I agree with the mayor. I think it's an indicator that the economy is doing better in the city. But I think it's an interesting fact. I think really the issue here is that people were hit with several different reasons. People were hit with a bill that's just the jump is too much. And, you know, the one thing I've told people who've called me, I walked in, I eat pizza for dinner a lot in the same place. And the guy that owns that place was showing me his bill. And the one thing I told him, I said, just give it a couple more months. This one bill is going to be the highest one you've got. And, in August, September, I'll still be coming in here all the time to eat. In September, let's see how this averages out, because I think we're seeing the very high spike this month, and things are going to level back out. The end of the year, the one thing I do know is the end of the year, we're only going to have a 9.7% difference from the rate standpoint. Now, I don't know where fuel charges, I don't know, that's a very macro level discussion of where you think natural gas prices are going and where you think all this is headed. But at the end of the year, I know from an LP&L perspective, we're not going to have more than, for residential, a 9.7% increase.
Let me continue a question that was asked by one of the callers earlier. I don't think you didn't skip it on purpose, because there were several points to the question. Any reason for the Electric Utility Board, and would you consider making a motion to reconsider the fact that the board meetings might be telecast on cable channel 2?
As a mayor, I believe said, the whole televising the meetings issue, the last time it came up was before I was appointed to the board.
Right.
I actually have no problem with that whatsoever.
You don't have any problem with them being telecast?
Right.
Okay.
Might as well be, in my opinion. I'm not at all opposed to that.
Well, and there are some logistical problems with that.
Absolutely.
They would either have to move their meetings over to City Hall, where we're set up for it, which was what we talked about doing the last time, or spending a considerable amount of money to get technology in the LP&L building.
And the folks in the PIO and the Public Information Office at City, they're stretched pretty thin right now.
They are. So I will tell you,
that staff has been cut drastically.
It would be
years.
Additional cost on the City of Lubbock. It would be additional cost on the LP&L, which translates always to additional cost to the taxpayers, and it's something that we have to discuss before we make a decision.
Would you agree that maybe the LP&L board meetings should be moved to City Hall? Now, there's 9 members on the LP&L board.
I don't get a vote, but yes, when it came to us the last time, and when I did have a vote on that board, I voted with Emilio Abeta to start televising them, and the way we were going to accomplish it, that the least cost to the taxpayer was by moving our meetings over to City Hall.
Okay. Clayton, we've got another couple of issues to talk about, but what is being done? I know that there's been a lot of distraction at Lubbock Power and Light over the past couple of weeks, and it's budget time. Is this distracting the folks at Lubbock Power and Light away from their requirement to submit a 2013-2014 budget? And that deadline's coming down on us pretty quickly.
Now, Paul, we did 2 or 3 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, we did finalize the review of the budget. We made our recommendation. The board made its recommendation of the 2013 budget to the council. There's a couple issues in there that are still points of discussion, and I know, thankfully, the council gets to make a decision on whether or not that budget is appropriate. But, yes, there are many distractions. There always are, I've learned. But we did our budget review. We made the recommendation to the council, and I'm interested to see the council and the mayor very much have the authority on whether or not that they accept that budget as part of the larger city budget process, as you're very well familiar with.
On a personal note, and this is out of the realm of what we've been talking about, you've been very upfront serving on the Electric Utility Board. You are a developer in Lubbock. You have a dog in the fight. You have your own money. You've got skin in the game, for developments in Lubbock. It's been the history of your family to contribute to the growth of Lubbock. Clayton, do you have any other political ambition, or has this stint on the Electric Utility Board, because you're a young guy, and I've always said, I said when I was on the council, we might have a little too much gray hair on that dais. Have you... You don't have any hair at all.
By choice.
By choice.
Two of us. You offended both of us with that comment. Good job, boss.
Good boy. I'm telling you, I'd give myself a little check mark for that one. Any future political plans?
You know, Paul,
would you be interested in listening to a proposal, maybe?
Well, I really do think that the real answer is I actually have enjoyed the last week or two. I don't like the scrutiny, and you don't like the criticism. It gets personal for some people. Most people it's not. And most people it's a very civil disagreement. I enjoy that part of it. I think, I have my own approach. I don't have any problem sitting out and, you know, trying to answer questions and like the mayor and I have said before, we can very, very clearly disagree on a few things, you know, we can also do it without really getting personal.
You can disagree without being disagreeable.
Yeah, that's right. And I think I enjoy this process. I'll tell you the truth. It's taken so much to actually get my head around the LPNL operation and what an electric utility does. To do it the right way as a board member, or the right way as I see it, it's taken so much effort. I'm pretty committed to that, and. You know, you get to a point where you want to see some of these long-term. There's no other area of the city. I don't think LPNL is the most important department of the city. Probably police and fire would be that, but there's no other area of the city that's potentially fixing to spend more money and go through more changes and impact more people like me in the real estate business and the development world. There's no other area by a long margin that's going to have more impact financially on the city. And so, you know, I want to see a lot of that go through. And I think the best decision, this board and the council working together have got to make the best decision for this 2019 issue, or all kinds of businesses and all kinds of areas of the city are going to be negatively impacted.
Well, it's a good point.
So I'm not answering your question.
You're right.
And I'm going to throw 2 cents in, and I wasn't asked the question, but the one thing I want to say about Mr. Isom is he is, in my opinion, one of the very few that is trying to be part of the solution. And I need more people like Clayton willing to sit down, professionally discuss our differences, professionally agree to disagree, and get that behind us in his willingness to say we need to move forward, we've got to solve the problem is what I like. So I'm going to encourage him to have some future political ambitions. I think the city of Lubbock needs more people like Clayton.
Well, in addition to my remark a moment ago about Harry, in addition to offending you and Clayton, I've also offended the former mayor pro tem, Jim Gilbert. I just got a text message from him.
Attaboy, Jim. You're 3 for 3.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you what, that's pretty good batting average.
I like it, too. Let's take a break here. We're going to talk about smart meters. We're going to talk about 2019, and we're going to talk about 2045 in a moment, because those two have some correlation, those two dates. Talk about that next here on the Chad Hastie program. I'm Paul Arbeen, along with Mayor Glenn Robertson and Electric Utility Board Member Clayton Isom here on KFLO. Good morning, everybody. It's about 22 minutes after the hour of 10, and we're rolling along this morning on the Chad Hastie Show, my last morning today. Tomorrow, Isidro Gutierrez, I understand, is going to be behind the microphone, and then Matt Crow on Friday will be sitting in.
Paul,
and, of course, he'll be back. Chad will be back on Monday. Yes, sir.
And I'd like to take this point, if I could, just to very briefly apologize for Chad. We may have really just ruined his show. This could be a nail in the coffin for
Chad.
Oh,
it's summertime. This is kind of like a summer rerun, you know.
Okay.
Well, we need to get back to the phones this morning. I wanted to talk about several other issues, but let's go back to the phones and talk to Wayne. Good morning, Wayne. You're on the Chad Hastie program.
Good morning, guys. And I'm not going to call a complaint about my bill, because I know all those questions have all been covered in the protest and everything else. Mine is on the billing. process. I'm a letter carrier, and I know one of the problems y'all have, people move out, don't pay their bills. I understand that. It frustrates you and me, too. But I get people that'll move in, have their power turned on, and never get a bill. And then their power gets turned off if they haven't been paying it, and they have to go down and pay the bill, pay the reconnection fee. And one gentleman found out that his bill was being sent to an address he didn't live at.
Hmm, okay.
And I've had some bills come out here to an address with a name that hasn't lived here since in the 7+ years I've been on the route. I still knock on the door and ask them, does this person, they're like, never heard that name before.
Hmm. Okay.
So, well, you know, Wayne, on the billing process, yeah, is my question.
Wayne, I think
we'll let Wayne, we'll let Clayton Isom respond to that.
Wayne, I think, you know, I think there's a, it's just like, you know, anything. There's over 100,000 meters that LPNL services. LPNL also handles the billing for the city water and stormwater and sewer.
Correct.
And so there, it's a huge task, and I don't at all believe that it's going to be perfect. There's always going to be some mistakes and some errors that are made. I will tell you that one of the things I did as I got this appointment was spend a whole lot of time understanding our customer service office, understanding how those policies and procedures are set out. I have a great feel for it, and I think our customer service department has a very, very difficult job because you've got some great people. Some of the best people at LPNL are in that customer service office. However, most of the time when someone's calling in, they're not calling in to commend them for how great their bill was that month. And so, you know, we have, I truly believe that we have some great people that deal with some very angry customers, and a lot of times rightfully so. And, you know, most of the time when I listen to phone calls or when I stand down there and listen to how they handle things in the most professional, courteous manner that they can. Now, I know we all have some experiences that may not be perfect, but that's what they're trained to do. And I think the mayor and I have agreed one of the best management people that we have in that entire organization is a lady named Dana Box.
I will concur.
Yeah, and she, you know, you can't get a better person to be running that department and to be managing all those people. She's an all-star over there.
Let me interject something, and we appreciate Wayne calling in this morning. Let me do a little housekeeping here. Have we dropped Danielle? Ariel, did Danielle drop? We apologize. If you'd like to call back, we'll try to get you back on the air. 770-5790. I want to interject something about calls. What a lot of folks do not understand when they call Lubbock Power and Light, and I'm not sure that it's made clear on their switchboard recordings, all of the calls at Lubbock Power and Light are recorded.
Yes, they are.
And when I served on the Lubbock City Council, I had literally dozens and dozens and dozens of complaints of poor service from the customer reps at Lubbock Power and Light. I cannot tell you how many times I went over to Lubbock Power and Light and sat in offices and listened to phone calls. And I did not hear one time where a customer service rep was rude to a customer. Without exception, every call made, the customer was angry, swearing at the customer rep. And then when I call them back and talk to them about what I heard on the recording, all of a sudden their complaint goes away.
I understand.
And I had a tremendous amount of that while I was on the council. I mean, dozens and dozens and dozens of times people would call me and say, I was treated so badly by the customer service rep, but I wanted to stick up for Lubbock Power and Light in that department. We still have got to get to 2019, got to get to smart meters, got to get to 2045, and we'll try to do that in the final 30 minutes of the Chad Hastie program. I'm Paul R. Bean, along with Mayor Glenn Robertson and Electric Utility Board member Clayton Isom. Your calls are welcome at 770-5790. Well, the deadline approaches. 11 o'clock is right around the bend, my friend, and that's going to wrap it up for the Chad Hastie Show today. I'd like to thank Mayor Glenn Robertson for showing up, and especially I'd like to thank Clayton Isom for coming in and
took courage.
To crawl. You know, he crawled up on the cross to get crucified. I mean, he used a stepladder.
And I want to say this, and I want to say it publicly, because there's been a lot of discussion about my problems with the board. Clayton's one of the good guys. Clayton is one of the guys that I know I can go to on that board when we disagree and we can sit down and try to find a solution. Now, I will say this, there's a lot of times that he's in the minority, and that will probably upset some people that I'll say that, but I've never been bashful about saying what I think. And Clayton, I do appreciate you being here and willing to take this heat, because – you know, while I'm paid $75 a month to do my job, you're paid zero. And I think folks need to be aware of that.
Thank you.
Let's talk about smart meters. Let's have a show of hands. Who is in support of smart meters? Clayton and Glenn are both in support of $20 million worth of smart meters. They tell me that we get the economy model for $20 million. Is that right? Can you shed any light on that, Clayton?
I mean, it's $20 million. I don't think there's anything economy about it.
Well, they tell me that, you know, that the really good smart meters would be far more than $20 million, that this is the base model, with black wall tires and standard transmission.
I think right now, and let me say this, I'm behind the concept of smart meters. I've got to have a couple of things justified. Number one, can we truly cost justify them? But the main thing that I want to see that we have not seen yet is we don't actually know that $20 million is a good number. They're doing an RFP. They've asked for numbers. This is an estimate from staff, and I have learned to discount these estimates from staff. Now, I don't want staff to get upset at this, but we've had too much history of underestimating, and you get board approval and you get council approval for a $20 million item. It turns into $30 million, and then we're hooked.
Right.
So I'm going to ask, and we're going to discuss LPNL's budget August 1st. And we're going to discuss it at length at the council level. I'm going to ask for two things. Number one, I want to know good solid numbers on a bid. How much is it going to cost? And then I want to be shown what is our payback period. Can we actually pay for these meters over a four-year period like we've been sold that we can?
You know, and I think the mayor is very reasonable in that comment. I did not like when the comment was made. And this person who made the comment probably be upset, but we'll get over it by lunch. But I did not like that there'd be a 3 or 4 year payback on these smart meters. We don't know that. We're purely, you know, we know what the industry averages say. We know the payback is not more than 10 years in any case, is what the industry has said. The biggest thing about the smart meters, in my opinion, the most important reason that I've taken it very seriously, and I believe we've got to go to it, are two things. 90% of the rest of the state is already on smart meters. That means some very smart companies and some very smart utilities, a lot bigger ones than LPNL, have decided smart meters have to happen.
Right.
The next thing is we have catastrophic weather events in Lubbock. Right now, when a weather event happens, we are purely and literally and figuratively just throwing in the wind and throwing in the dark, trying to figure out where the electricity is out and trying to fix it. There's no communication from your house and from your meter to LPNL. The last point I'll make, and we'll go to that person who called in, when South Plains Electric Co-op, who's on smart meters and has been for a long time in this community, when they have a windstorm, a hailstorm, a tornado, you call them if you're a customer of SPEC. And they tell you, by the time you call, they tell you when you call in, we know your address and we know your power's out, and we will contact you and let you know when we think your power will be back on. If you call LPNL, you get a crash phone system because the phone system can handle, you know, 50 calls and there's 22,000 people calling at one time.
Right.
There's no communication.
Good point. Let's go to the phones. We've got a couple of people standing by, one calling about smart meters, but just ahead of Jerry is Carol. Carol, quickly, good morning and welcome to the Chad Hastie Show. You've got a question.
Yes. Well, I have all kinds of questions. But anyway, first of all, I want to say that I really have a great deal of respect for everyone who puts their time into service for this community. Whatever the results, whatever happens, I think you've got to respect the people who are willing to put themselves on the line. I have one quick question about the computer models for the rates for LPNL. Was there a computer model done for customer impact?
Carol, I'm not sure I fully understand. Are you saying was there a computer model built to try to show how big the difference would be for the customer?
Well, yeah. I mean, you guys hired an expert to come in to give you all kinds of information about computer models for a new rate structure.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm just asking, was there also a model or was there something run in that which would show the customer impact?
Carol, the honest answer is I think that's where we messed up. And I don't, if we made a mistake, we were looking at numbers on a spreadsheet on a piece of paper. We were looking at annual numbers. We were looking at much longer term than what did July going to look like when those bills are sent out. I personally, I've talked to several board members that feel the same way. I personally regret not having asked, hey, what's this going to look like that first month when we send out the new bills?
Mm-hmm.
We were looking on, like I said, an annualized basis. The model was for a five-year period. The reason you're hearing, Carol, that it's a 9.7% increase is because everything we looked at was annual and is 9.7 over the whole year.
Right.
We should have looked at, hey, when this all hits in July of 2013, if that's how we're going to do it, some of these bills are going to be 80 and 90% up because it's all probably the most, imperfect time for an increase to hit and everything else to have hit. So I don't mind as a person on this board to say that I wish we'd have looked at it on a much more micro level to see how this was going to look.
Okay.
Very good.
And I think the fact that those things happen is something that gives a lot of people concern regarding the implementation of smart meters.
Right.
For example, the mayor was just talking about the money, $20 million. They cost a lot more than that to deploy if you've done any research on it. But some of my questions regard, there's a lot of misinformation and concern because people don't know the type of meter, and it actually makes a difference for some of the concerns that are being voiced across the world, and also the type of collection system. And so I don't know if you all have made decisions to that or the information, but actually...
I want to make sure this is very clear. All we've done is started the very initial process to start the process of an RFP for smart meters.
Oh, okay.
Right.
So we're not even at first base on that. We're saying that we want to go down that path, but we're just now getting off the first step.
Carol, thank you very much for the call this morning. Got to move along. We've got to get one more call in before the break. Good morning, Jerry. You're on the Chad Hastie Show with Clayton and Glenn.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing good, Jerry.
I'd heard a tale on smart meters, and my question is, is it going to be where we're limited to so much electricity in a month? Because I heard downstate there had some smart meters in, and people used over an allotted time, and they had their electricity cut off till the first of the month or till their billing was done, And, this is a problem I have is if we're going to be limited to the amount of electricity, well, then there's going to be a lot of food spoilage and stuff like that if these things cut off electricity, and that's what I want to understand about the smart meter.
Jerry, I can answer that question. There's absolutely going to be no change with smart meters as far as any limitations or any restrictions associated with your consumption.
Okay.
Down south, you're right, downstate, across the country, there are utility companies that go to you and say, Jerry, if we get into a blackout situation, are you willing, for some incentive, maybe they give you $10 off your next bill, are you willing to let us cut off your air conditioning if we absolutely have to have it? Those customers say, yeah, I'll take the $10 next month, but it's absolutely your choice. LPNL has not had any discussions about even looking into a program that would be like that. And so from the consumption standpoint, from the billing standpoint, from all other standpoints, smart meters, the one thing you can look at, the difference for smart meters is, if we have a tornado, if we have a blackout because of some damage to the system, the smart meters can tell LPNL, Your house is out. They can tell LPNLY, and they can communicate back to our linemen and everybody else that are in the dark, in the rain, in the tornado, or in the wind trying to fix something. Right now, they just go out trying to fix anything they see physically down on the line. These would say, hey, your house on 23rd Street, Clayton Isom's house on 23rd Street has this line down. It's this problem. If you fix it right here, it'll come back on.
Okay.
Well, I understand, and I just wanted to get that clarification out because that's something that's been on my mind, and that answers my question right there.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Appreciate it,
you.
Jerry. Thank you very much. Bye. Not a concern at my house as long as my house doesn't consume more than 9,375 watts because that's what my generator produces. This is the Chad Hasty Show. We've got Richard standing by, and we'll pick him up right after the break. We'll have a call, maybe a chance to. We'll get Richard on right after the break. Richard, appreciate you holding on. Thank you very much. We've got to take a break. This is the Chad Hasty Program. We're running out of time this morning here on a Wednesday. Only 4 minutes left on the show today. We've got two calls to get in. First, we've got to get to Richard. Richard, we've got about a total of about a minute and a half for you. Good morning. You're on the Chad Hasty Show.
Well, I think it was Clayton that said it, and I don't think he meant it the way it sounded. But if he knows that it's never going to be 100% correct, what's he shooting for? 80%? 50%? You know, efficiency, a lot of the problem is perception. And that, to me, that statement just came across a little weird, saying that it's not perfect, it's never going to be perfect. Well, I have the expectations in my business that it does run perfect, and I do everything I can to make it run perfect.
Yeah, Richard, I did say that. We were talking about the fact there's 103,000 meters, and we got a bill for them 12 times a year. I understand what you're saying, but Richard, the same thing happens. We've got great people down there that do a great job, and they try. Obviously, everybody's goal is to be perfect every time, but you know the fact of the matter is, when you have that many moving parts, you know it would be irresponsible of me to say that there's never going to be a mistake on any level at all.
Right.
Oh no, I understand
right. That,
but like I said, it goes back to perception.
Right.
And if the customer thinks that person, you know, they can be as medical about it and, you know, about their answer, but it just doesn't seem like they quite care. And that goes a lot farther than fixing a mistake than, you know, just getting blurted a type message that you tell people about a mistake made.
Right.
If they think that you truly do care about it, it goes a long ways. You know, about, oh, okay, but we'll get this handled and everything moves on.
Richard, we appreciate it. We've got to get this last call in. We appreciate it very much. Thank you for the call. Sorry to cut you off. We've got to move along. Let's try to get Les on the phone for our final call of the morning here on the Chad Hasty Show. Les, thanks very much for hanging on. What's your question this morning?
This is Len. My question is, just occurred to me about the smart meters. If they're going to use these smart meters to monitor power outages around the city, why do we have to cover the whole city with smart meters? If the weather service wants to know how much rain we get, they don't put a rain gauge at everybody's house. Why spend $20 million to cover the whole city if that's one of the main selling points of the smart meters?
Good question. We'll let Clayton Isom try to answer your question.
I think it's a good question.
Thanks for calling, sir.
I think it's a good question. The mayor said this before, and I don't mind saying it right now. I have every intention of supporting a plan for smart meters that allows people to opt out if they choose that's not the best fit for them. And I'll say it now, I'll say it all the way through the process, but you know, people should have that choice.
Well, and to answer you, there's more reasons for smart meters than just that. It's amazing what they can do on accounts receivable. One of the biggest selling points is accuracy. You no longer have to rely on meter readers to go and physically read them.
And that answers the question by the drive-by. Will you be able to opt out of the smart meters according to Mr. Clayton Isom, if he gets his way? Yes, the answer is yes. This is it for the Chad Hastie Show. We appreciate very much Mayor Glenn Robertson staying here for 2 hours this morning along with Electric Utility Board Member Clayton Isom. Takes a lot of courage to come up here and face the callers and the questions that you guys have shown a great deal of patience with this morning. Thanks.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Clayton, thank you very much. That's it for today's edition of the Chad Hastie Show. Isidro Gutierrez tomorrow, and then on Friday, it's Matt Crow. I'm Paul Arabin, and I'll be back at 1:30 this afternoon with my commentary in the middle of the Rush Limbaugh show. It's called The Way I See It. And not only does Town Square not always agree, but they should, because I think I'm going to rename it That's the Way It Is. See you at 1:30. Bye, everybody.